Brian, for those, he wears so many hats, we'll only stick with a couple of them. He is the senior partner of the law firm of O'Dwyer & Bernstein, which has been around for 100 years. Not Brian, but he's chairman of Emerald Isle Immigration Center and National Democratic Ethnic Leadership Council. And, Brian, you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you, Adrian. Great to be here once again.
Now, next Tuesday, we have primary elections in New York. Unfortunately, a great number of voters in the city of New York feel that, we'll let this one go by because the big day is in November when we go to the elections. Perhaps you might just, fill us in on the significance, first of all, of primaries, and before we even get into the polls.
Well, there's any number of candidates on both sides, in both the Republican and Democratic primaries. And, you know, the problem of waiting till the election is you now limit yourself to two choices, Republican or Democrat. The real reason you vote in the primary is because there's many, many different choices, many of them very good, but you don't want to just look down and say on November and say, oh, my God, I only have two choices, bad or worse. This way you're given a full range of choices of people to
right.
That you
so, you know, the theory that we'll wait until this thins out is actually that's the ultimate shooting yourself in the foot.
Oh, absolutely, because that's something. Imagine you go down and you see two choices and neither of them very good in your mind. Well, then you've really made a terrible mistake.
Right.
And you're going to kick yourself because you haven't done it right. The right thing is to do vote in the primary and make sure you get the right choice and for
in
your
the first
particular
place.
Party.
Yeah, okay. Obviously, an Irish community that has every good reason in the world to support and hope that in the outcome of the Democratic primary that Christine Quinn, the current speaker, will be at least in a runoff, if not because it's a bit scary. And definitely it will be somewhat of an embarrassment to us if we don't get the vote out. Before we deal with Christine specifically, what's your reaction to the polls and what influence does one poll have on, for instance, the result of the next one and the next one or whatever?
Yeah, I think it's very difficult to poll in a primary. Two reasons. One is this is a very different primary, and of course, you know, the polls are showing de Blasio way ahead. I discount all of them for this two reasons. One is it's very hard. Only, unfortunately, about less than one-third of the Democratic voters are going to come out in the primary, which means that's very difficult to pick who's going to be there or not.
Yeah.
Secondly, this is very unusual time because, as you can see, the election or the primary is on Tuesday. Everybody's been away. You know, all of August, people have been away on vacation.
Right.
And then immediately came Labor Day, and then came the Jewish holidays, where a lot of New York, even if you're not Jewish, you kind of is almost on a, you know, there's no schools, people aren't things.
Right.
So this is coming down to a four-day election. And we'll see how it comes out, but I think I put very little stock in the polls.
Right. Well, the polls, in fact, we have to also understand that the polling process has no real way of figuring what happens if in fact only 20% of the overall voters will come out and react. So they might well have, and obviously they're not going to wait. They may well have been polling a lot of people who, in fact, may be turned off by the massive amount of negative ads that we see on television and hear on radio, and this is a different election, and you put your finger on it because we have not had an election like this for the last 12 years. So obviously there's a change after a long period does bring a certain amount of uncertainty. Apathy, I suppose, should be thrown in there as well. It's a bit scary when you think that the foregone conclusion only a few months ago was that Christine Quinn, Speaker, that this was a wrap. She was it, and that we didn't have much to worry about there, other than go through the motions.
Right, right, and you know, there's any number of reasons why Christine should be the preferred choice for the Irish community, among which is she's one of our own. She would be the first fully Irish mayor since actually our Uncle Bill was mayor in 1945 to 1949. It would also be, but far more important than that, is she has been very, very supportive of Irish arts, of Irish immigrants and immigrants as a whole, and has been not only supported immigration reform, but has been put her money where her mouth is in terms of helping Emerald Isle and others in terms of funding to so we could hold our immigration community.
Right.
So this is a woman who who's Irish but understands Irish and understands the plight of the immigrant. And
also, as you would know since you accompanied her, had more than a passing interest in Ireland and particularly in Northern Ireland.
She played at a very, very sensitive time. She played a very unique role and a very important role in terms of coming in almost at the last minute when she was asked to basically indicate one of the many unfortunate fallouts of the Troubles was that the Unionist population, you know, felt that the Irish in the United States were against them.
Yeah.
And Christine came in and had a meeting with Dr. Paisley and Robinson and all the others and said, look, I want you to know that Irish America, Irish in New York, and myself in particular, value both communities equally. And it went a long way toward easing and promised whatever help she could to both communities. And I'd say that went a long way in terms of easing the way in.
And
very, very, very important.
Yeah. And she must have carried, actually, a lot of credibility, and her reputation was such that it was the first time that the first minister of Ireland, that the Reverend Ian Paisley, even though nobody had really approached him during that trip to the north and said, do you want to sit in on this? It was assumed that he wouldn't. And lo and behold, he was there and sat down at that meeting, which in fact you organized.
Yes, and it was, as I said, it was a seminal meeting in terms of, you know, it was at a very crucial point in terms of the peace process and whether they would participate or not. And as I said, it was Christine that really drove home the message that everybody was trying to drive home, was trying to make, and she really drove it home. thought. Very, very.
What is there? Again, I'd like to go back to the negative barrage of of television ads in particular. Does that have, you know, an impact as we come towards? Is it a deterrent for those who may feel, this stuff has got to ease down because I can't even think straight.
Oh no, there's no question that negative ads, all these negative ads, ratchet down significantly voter turnout. People throw up their hands and say a plague on all your houses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be part of something that's so dirty I don't believe any of these guys, and they're all bad. And that's very bad for the system and very bad for the country.
Right. Now, the advent of, the social media, and again going back to both radio and particularly television, have indeed taken their toll on the traditional system. Coming to election, there is nothing more powerful than somebody, for instance, who is going to cast their vote for, say, Christine Quinn, and feels that the job is done. The truth of the matter is that in addition to voting for whomever your choice is, if you don't, bring a few with you, it's going to be a very poor party, excusing the pun.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's important for all of you. And of course, my candidate is Christine, but whoever, I think it's
right.
Other candidates, or if you're voting in the Republican primary,
right.
Whoever your candidate is, I think it's important not only that you vote, but that you bring your friends and relations out, because it is a very important race. It's a very, this is a very, we had Mike Bloomberg for 12 years, and so now there's a whole new way of of governing New York, and I think we're facing that now, so that's good.
Do you also do you agree or disagree that perhaps Christine Quinn's closeness with the Bloomberg administration, in fact, may be a disadvantage at this stage of the game, or does some of that indeed contribute to the polls that have been taken thus far?
I think there's no question about that, and I wish it weren't, but
that's reality.
It's just reality, and the fact of the matter is that. I was thinking about this the other day. New Yorkers seem to just get tired of our mayors.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Ed Koch, who, by all good means, was a very good mayor. Everybody would assume that, but lost to David Dinkins in a primary, mostly because people were just tired of him.
Right, and we saw it also with governors, obviously, with Governor Pataki.
Yeah,
and with the. People do. They just get. They do. They get turned off, and people sometimes want to change for the sake of change. Say, I've had enough of this,
Yeah.
And ironically, what that means, of course, is that that a great number of people who are looking for change, anyway, that they've already been indoctrinated, and they believe themselves that, you just go in and let's just change everything because God knows things aren't terrific anymore. However, we should remember that New York City is in an awful lot better shape than it was under, previous administrations, and there's a long way to go. Anyway, I think we both agree that in addition to getting out and voting for our own favorite candidates. And there are a lot of other reasons to go too. We're going to have new borough presidents. We're going to have a new city council.
A brand new city council. Many of the people have been
out on term limits.
Out on term limits. So it's going to be a much, different city council. Many borough presidents' races, the controller's race, which is going to be very interesting, public advocate, all of those. And we have, I must say that the one thing we're lucky about, Adrian, though, I think, is that both on the Democratic and Republican side, none of the candidates have succumbed to this anti-immigrant rhetoric. And,
right.
And all have been quite supportive of Ireland.
Right.
Well, not all, because some of them haven't focused in, but Bill Thompson was there, helped to
sure.
John Liu I took to Ireland.
Right.
So I think there's a lot
mm-hmm.
that we're lucky about. I don't want, and I am 100% behind Christine, but I don't want people to come away with this saying that the other candidates aren't worthy of consideration.
And
we're lucky that there are no enemies of Ireland or Irish immigration in this race,
right.
Which is really interesting.
Okay, again, let's see what Tuesday brings, but the point to underscore here is that if you are among those who feel that the general election is really the one that's important, then you have removed every chance to indeed select candidates right across the board. I'll say not only in the mayoral race, but in the city council in particular, because that's where we're going to need the city council. And thus far, we've been very lucky with the city council under Christine Quinn.
Absolutely. And I don't want to leave today, Adrian, without talking about a perennial underdog that is going to walk away with Sam Maguire in a week's time or so.
First of all, that's 2 weeks. And
2 weeks' time.
Right.
And
I hope that our foregone conclusions with respect to the Sam Maguire going to its rightful county, that and what we were, our foregone conclusion with Christine Quinn, let's hope that this plays out the way we want it. And as a matter of fact, I think probably the best of all worlds at this stage of the game would be to have a runoff. If it develops into a runoff election, people will then know the impact. As you say, many people aren't even, they've been on summer, they've had now the Jewish holidays and going back to school and whatever. What I don't believe is that, what I find it very hard to believe anyway, is that there's going to be 43%, 44%, and it would be that would be pretty scary, to put it.
Yes, it would be, and I frankly don't think that's going to happen. I think most pundits don't think that's going to happen either.
Okay, we'll see you on Tuesday, and again, the message is loud and clear. No matter who you have in mind, at whatever level, if you don't get out to the polls this Tuesday, then you've managed to wipe out perhaps your menu of candidates, and then, as you mentioned earlier, we're going to be stuck with two after Tuesday.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Brian O'Dwyer.
All the best, Adrian.
All right. God bless.